Now, Father Jerry, Helen, do you have your phone? Do you have that message that Father Jerry put up in the message to the disciples this morning? Because I think we should share that. Because I was going to bring a message, and I changed my whole message after reading this morning. So I want, Helen, you might come forward and just share that message. And this message encapsulates everything that we are trying to do with encountering Christ. And could I say, on behalf of Father Jerry, to all of you, thank you. Thank you for coming today. This is very inconvenient for so many people to come on a Sunday, particularly Easter Sunday. And we know that you could be with your family, and we know that many of you have given up your time to come here. And that is pleasing to the Lord, because this is what we're looking for. We're looking for people who are so committed. I left my home today, and all my stepchildren are coming to have dinner, and I wanted to be there. But my place is here, because I'm a missionary disciple. And this is the level of commitment that God has called us to in this place. And all over the world, we're celebrating Jesus is Lord and Jesus is alive. But many, many people are not. And many, many people's lives are broken and wounded, and they're lost. And they need you and I to go and rescue them. And as much as we could get so excited, and I love Resurrection Sunday, and we need to proclaim that Jesus is alive, let's never forget there's so many people that are broken and wounded. When Father Jerry sent that message this morning, it made me think, let's talk about this morning. Do you want to share that, Helen?
Yes, as we've said before, the shepherd has not left the sheep. So the message came to our missionary disciple group, but it's to us all here. We're all here as missionary disciples. And Father Jerry said, our culture is so broken in so many ways. The rise in abortion, suicides, divorce, same-sex marriage, the trans agenda, assisted suicides, dot, dot, dot. As missionary disciples, we have been battered and bruised about what is going on in the world. But today, I sense the Lord is saying, put aside what disturbs you and makes you anxious personally, in the world and in the church. He wants to remind us today that he is truly alive.
Amen.
And nothing is going to destroy the plan of the Lord. Nothing. So rest today, rejoice today in that confidence, and allow the Lord to build you up. And a little note to you, Kenneth. Wasn't Kenneth's baptism wonderful last night? A little piece of history in that bridge.
Amen. Let us never forget our family and loved ones. That's why I was saying when we were singing that song, let that be a declaration for Ireland, that this land again would rise up again and praise God like never before. There's a motto in Glasgow in Scotland, and it breaks my heart to share this, but the motto was this. The motto for Glasgow was, let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word and the praising of his name. And they've taken the second part away, and it's just, let Glasgow flourish. Let Glasgow flourish. And yet the true motto was by the praising of the word and the preaching of his name. Praising of his name, the preaching of his word. And that's where we are today in Ireland. Many pubs and restaurants today are just going to be full of people having dinner, forgetting all about the reason for the season. All week I've been saying in the charity shop, remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season, because people just come and go, and it's just another meal with the family, and the real message of Easter is lost. Good Friday, I'd spent all day Good Friday studying, and I had a tremendous time. And you know, all week we've been celebrating the passion of Jesus, and looking at the wounds of Christ and the cross, the Gethsemane, the crushing, the Passover meal, the flogging, the crown of thorns. And it made me think of our Catholic theology. Let me just give you a bit of theology this morning. A lot of our separated brothers and sisters, Protestants, believe that God was pouring his wrath on his son. He poured his wrath and his judgment on his son so that you and I would be set free. It's called penal substitution. But our church doesn't teach that. Our church teaches that the cross was about us pouring our wrath on him. He took our pain, he took our sin, he took our suffering. The God who allows us to pour our wrath in him. The God of the universe that allowed his face to be slapped. The God of the universe that allowed his beard to be pulled out from him, punching him. The passion of the Lord was not about God's wrath, it's about God's love. It's a story of God's love. It's not about an angry God. It's about a God of mercy and grace shown. You can do what you want to me, but I'm going to still love you. You can crucify me. You can try to shut me up by punching me and punching me. The Bible says again and again they struck him. They struck him and they struck him. And he allowed them to strike them. And that's the Calvary Road for all of us. And all of us are going to face persecution. And all of us will face a crucifixion. And all of us will, at some point or another, be falsely accused. Even by family. Even by family members that will hurt you and accuse you and cause you to be in that broken place. And it made me think about Father Jerry's message this morning. Don't forget about the people who are broken. And don't forget about those who are wounded, who are separated from Christ and his glorious message of the cross of love. Not an angry God, not a God of wrath, but a God who's just reaching out to us, constantly reaching out to us and loving us and pouring his life upon us. That's the resurrection story today. Amen. But I want to talk to you today, and I want you to listen to it from your heart. And for those watching by way of YouTube or Facebook, I want to say this to you. What tomb are you in today? Many people are still in the tomb. Many people are still living in agony. Many people have never experienced a resurrected life, and we thank God for a resurrected life. If when we come to Christ, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. But so many people, our friends, our family, people in the street, people we work with, are still in the tomb. What tomb are you in today? Is it the tomb of rejection? And so many people are in that tomb. Is it the tomb of false accusation? We've heard Helen so many times talk to us about fear. Is it the tomb of fear? Is it the tomb of brokenness and rejection? The tomb of accusation. And so many people are in that tomb. That's why it makes it so much more important for everything that we do in encountering Christ, that we can come and tell them about the resurrected life, a resurrected Christ. You don't have to stay in the tomb of an eating disorder. How's that prophetically for somebody? So many young girls are in that tomb. So many marriages are broken. A tomb of a broken marriage, is it a tomb of abuse? A tomb of sexual abuse that so many women are still suffering from? And they've never heard the story about a resurrected life, about a Christ who can change their life forever. That's why this is so important, this meeting. That's why we keep saying to people, this is not about you. It's about others. And as I speak, maybe you're in your living room, maybe you're in your car driving, and maybe you just resonate in your heart, I'm in a tomb today. I am in a tomb. But the Master is here, and he's got a word for you. It's a word of compassion and love and resurrection power. You don't have to stay in that tomb. You can be resurrected like Christ. You can have a powerful, life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ today, even under my voice, even under this recording. A year, 2 years down the road, you maybe will listen to this and you think, I'm in a tomb. It could be a tomb of brokenhearted, a tomb of losing your wife, a tomb of divorce, of separation. It's like a tomb for so many people. And they want to see life and power, and they don't know any way other than the tomb they've been in. And when I started studying the three people that Jesus resurrected, so much revelation in there. Jesus resurrected three people. He resurrected a daughter. He resurrected a son. And he resurrected a friend. A daughter, a son, a friend. I want you to think about a minute. Do you have a daughter, a son, a friend that you know needs to be resurrected, that needs to know the life-changing message of Jesus and the compassion of the Lord? Not this God of wrath, this God who allows us to crucify him. Jesus said to Peter, I could have called 12 legion of angels. A legion was 6,000. Jesus could have called 72,000 angels to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he chose to allow us to crucify him. What kind of love is this? And that theology of a God of wrath is wrong. It's pagan. Paganism. It's a pagan thought that a God who's going to pour out his wrath on us. But it's a God who loves us. He resurrected a daughter. The Bible tells us that Jairus, he was the leader of a synagogue. He came and he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he says, my daughter is sick. Would you come and lay hands on her and heal her? The Bible says Jesus immediately got up. And he was going to go to her house to heal that child. Let me just say this to you. Maybe you're not that daughter. Maybe you're the Jairus standing in the gap. Jairus got up out of his house and came searching for the Master. You've heard me saying before, God is drawn to movement. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And if you're really seeking the Master and seeking the Lord on behalf of others, God loves that prayer. Jairus, the father, came pleading for his daughter. Maybe you've got a daughter. Maybe you listen to me, your daughter's lost. She's broken, she's divorced. She's got an eating disorder. She's got no hope. Maybe God wants you to be that Jairus and stand in the gap and pray and never let go of your children. Never, ever let go. Because God is always looking for somebody to stand in the gap and bring them to Jesus. And you know, as Jesus head towards Jairus' house, the woman with the blood issue steps in. Right in the middle of this, he's heading towards her house, and the woman with the blood issue says, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jairus? He's getting disturbed. His daughter's sick, and this woman's getting healed. And maybe sometimes for you, you may see other people getting healed, and you're still looking for your healing. And God says, just wait. Just keep following the Master. Just keep being patient, because sometimes healings will come before you healing. And that woman with the blood issue, she suffered for 12 years, the same age as Jairus' daughter. She was 12 years of age. And this woman suffered for 12 years. And Jesus healed that woman and starts heading towards Jairus' house. The Bible says he walked into the room and he took her by the hand. We need to be so intimate with Jesus. And sometimes in our Catholic theology, it was like, the poor me, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. No, Jesus just wants to take your hand. You are worthy. All of us are worthy by the cross. Don't declare that. You are worth it. The cross is screaming out to you, you're worth it. Take his hand. Take the hand of the Master today. He just takes that wee girl's hand and says, Talitha kum. In the Hebrew, it means rise, little girl, arise, Talitha kum. And maybe for you, God is saying to you, become more like Jairus and look for those that need a healing from the Master. And the Bible tells us another story, that Jesus is walking through this town called Nain, and he sees this widow. And they're carrying the coffin of her son. And Jesus sees her brokenhearted. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And I love this bit in the scripture. It says, he went up to the widow and says, don't cry. Don't cry. And he touched the coffin. And that young man rose from the dead. Is it your son? Maybe you are a son. And maybe God's saying to parents today, don't cry. Don't cry. Because God hears your prayer. And he was so moved by compassion. I tell you, mothers are here today. Mothers, listen to me. Please listen to me. God hears every prayer that you say. Not one prayer is lost. There's something about a mother's prayer, something about a mother's heart that moves the heart of God for healing. Don't ever give up, mothers. Watching me, don't you ever give up on your daughters or your sons that are lost, maybe walking away from the Lord, maybe opinionated, whatever it may be, don't you ever give up on them, because the more compassion and love you show towards your family, you move the hand of God. You will move the hand of God. Proverbs 14:21 says, the seed of the righteous shall be redeemed. Your seed shall be redeemed. You stand in it. The Bible says the lamb was slain for the household. At Passover, it wasn't just for a few people. The lamb was slain for the household. You can claim that, mothers. You can claim that for your family. And every one of us have a black sheep, don't we? Every one of us. And we think, will they ever come? Don't you ever give up. Look at the man on the cross, the thief on the cross. I wonder if he had a praying mother. I just wonder. Sometimes when we get to heaven, we're going to see so many things that we never knew about. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what he said. He wasn't baptized. He wasn't confirmed like Kenneth, thanks be to God. He never got a chance to be baptized and confirmed. But the Master says, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. What tomb are you in today? What tomb is your family in today? And as I speak, so many people are suffering from the loss of a loved one. And you're the tomb of despair. So many people are in the tomb of loneliness. Have you ever known people who are lonely? And we could go visit them. They're just lonely. And it's a tomb for them. And here we have this. We can send a taxi for them. We can lift the phone to them. We can send them a WhatsApp video just to encourage them. This is what we're trying to say to people. Please, in God's name, get this vision. Get this vision. It's not about you. And thank God you came today. It's about your lost daughter, your lost son, or your friend. And that was the third person Jesus raised from the dead, his friend, Lazarus. And the Bible tells us they sent word to him and says, the one you love is sick. The one you love. And the Bible says Jesus spent another couple of days. He delayed going to see Lazarus for another 2 days. Is it your friend? Do you have a friend who's in a tomb today? And I think if many of us went back home today and sat with a notepad and pen, you could write down quite a lot of names that you know, friends that are in a tomb of despair, brokenness, hopelessness, helplessness, and we have the message of eternal life. And that's what Peter said when they walked away and they left him. When Jesus spoke about his flesh and his blood, the Bible says, they said, this is enough. And many of his disciples left him. And Jesus turns to the 12 and says, will you two leave me? And Peter says, to whom should we go? You have the message of eternal life. Every one of us here have the message of eternal life that we can take to a friend, just like Lazarus and Martha and Mary's sisters are brokenhearted, sending out for Jesus. The Bible tells us he was dead for 4 days. This is a Jewish book. In rabbinical tradition, the rabbis believed after 3 days your soul was gone. Gone. So Jesus waited for the fourth day. He was really gone. He was in the tomb. And the Bible says that Martha ran towards him. And she says, Rabbi, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. But I know even now, whatever you ask God, will give it to you. And Jesus says, Martha, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he will rise at the end of the time. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this, Martha? And the Bible says, she goes back and she says to Mary, the Master is here. And he's asking for you. I love that scripture. I've meditated in that scripture. I've cried over that scripture. Thinking about it. Taking it personally. You think about that for a minute. The Master is here. And he's asking for you. He's asking for you. Don't give up hope for your family. Don't give up hope for your friends. And the Bible says that Mary ran towards him. She fell at his feet. And she started to weep. Then Jesus started to weep as well. Shortest verse in scripture, Jesus wept. But Jesus was not weeping over Lazarus. Jesus was weeping over death. He's weeping over the tragedy of death. This should never have been. The plan of God was that we'd be blessed and live in his presence forever. This should never have been. Is it a son? Is it a daughter? Or is it a friend? Will you be a true friend? Will all of us be true friends and reach others for Jesus and tell them there's hope? There's no such thing as hopelessness in Christ. There's no such thing as helplessness in Jesus Christ. No such thing. And many, many of your friends and my friends are in tombs today. Maybe you're in a tomb. What tomb are you in today? And the Bible says that Jesus says, take away the stone. Take it away. And he spoke his name, Lazarus. Come out. Lazarus, come out. He's calling you by name. He calls your friends by name. Do you know that Jesus knows your name? Think about that for a minute. Jesus has mentioned your name, Mary, Helen, Joan. He knows your name, Gussie. He does. And he's not very happy about your name. I'm only kidding. He's a Spurs supporter, that Gussie fella. My sheep hear my voice. He preempted what I was just about to say, Gussie. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, it was Mary Magdalene came. And she thought he was the gardener. And he said, Mary. The last time she saw him, he was beaten to a pulp, with blood everywhere. But she recognized his voice. My sheep know my voice. Tune into his voice and hear his voice. Let me tell you this much. His voice is for the lost. His voice is for the brokenhearted. The voice is for those that are in tombs of rejection, tombs of sickness, tombs of fear and anguish and sorrow and loneliness. These people are in tombs and they need you and I to go and get them and rescue them and tell them the resurrection. Christ is alive. He's defeated sickness and disease and sin. He's defeated it all. There's hope for you in Christ. Amen? And in biblical times, the shepherds knew all the sheep's name. That's true. They knew them by name. They would call them by name. Jesus calls you by your name. Isn't that a wonderful thought that Jesus actually knows your name? And he mentions your name. And he speaks to your angel about you. And they talk about you. The intimacy of God and his love for you is so powerful. And the Bible says, he said to Mary, go and tell Peter. Go and tell Peter and my brothers. He was so excited. Go and tell them. I'll go before them. I'll meet them in Galilee. Go tell Peter. Because Peter had... He had rejected him and he had denied him. And maybe you're watching today and maybe you're here, you think, well, I've rejected the Lord and I've denied him. There's no hope for me. Oh, yes, there is. Go tell Peter, my brothers, go tell him. I can't wait to see Peter. He can't wait to see him. If it was me, I couldn't wait to slap him. Can you imagine? He's the one, oh, the big rock, so-called rock. I'll hit him with a rock. But Jesus can't wait to get him. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Kephas, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Kephas, he's still loving him. He still loves you, even in all our sin and all our rebellion. That doesn't stop God's love. God's love is totally and absolutely unconditional. He just loves us. That's the hasid of God, the Hebrew word. He has a compulsion to love. He just loves without limit, without merit. He just loves us. That's what the cross is about, and that's what the resurrection is about. He can't wait to tell us there's no need to be in the tomb any longer. You don't need to be in the tomb of depression, the tomb of loneliness, the tomb of despair. You can have a resurrected life today. And all you have to do is say yes. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. A lot of people don't even know that scripture. Just confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I shall be saved. That's the power of confession. And that's why we ask people to come here every week and speak and declare repentance and bring their life to the Lord. I mean, somebody was criticizing a few weeks ago, all these people come onto the altar every week. All these people are not just coming to the altar every week for themselves. They're bringing their daughters and their sons with them, praying for them and interceding for them. This is an altar call not just for them, but for the loved ones who are in tombs of despair. That's why we do an altar call and say, you know what, it may not be for you. Bring your daughter to this altar. Bring your son, bring your friend to this altar and intercede for them like Jairus did. And say, Lord, would you resurrect my daughter? Would you resurrect my son? Lost, they're lost and they're broken, but I'm come to this altar for them in their behalf. That's why we do that. And many people come here every week faithfully to this altar, not for themselves. Very inconvenient on a Sunday afternoon coming here, isn't it? But thanks be to God for your faithfulness. Thanks be to God that you come and you prove yourself as a disciple. So easy to be sitting at home today. I'd love to be sitting at home today. But you know what? For the joy that is in my heart to be able to reach people today, it means much more to me than any meal and any time. If we could just rescue somebody. If it means that just one person today experiences a resurrected life. Just one person. One person over my voice. Watching by Facebook. That young man, remember that young man, Mike Sullivan, we prayed for last week? I said, Mike, stand up. Do you know he's had an incredible recovery, hasn't he, Rosalind? He's doing great. Come on, tell us. And that was the power of prayer. And it was almost, this boy was almost at death's door. We prayed, and we put our hands towards this, and God is healing this boy. Rosalind, what's happening?
Mike has been in touch with Orla and with me. He's ringing me tomorrow again. He's improving immensely, and I don't know what caused the liver problems, but he's hoping to go back to Medjugorje the end of the month to sort out some things.
Amen.
And I ask you all, will you pray that the Lord, he wants to serve God, that the God, Lord will put a work into his way, that he can stay in Medjugorje. But he wants to thank you all for your prayers, and he's claiming that healing every
Amen.
Day. He watches it every day.
Yeah.
Maybe he's watching today.
You're watching, Mike?
And he's thanking God for all of you and all your prayers.
Amen.
And it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Praise God.
Praise God, Rosie. Do you know there's a lovely scripture called, it's in Psalm 56 verse 8. Do you have that, Seamus? Psalm 56 verse 8. And it's for those that are weeping today. When Jesus said to the woman, the widow of Nain, don't cry. Psalm 56 8 says that he stores up all your tears in his bottle. Every tear that you've shed, God puts it in his bottle. He knows every tear you've shed. And he puts it in his book. He records it in his book. Psalm 56, verse 8, that is worth meditating on. Have you shed a few tears recently? God has put it in his bottle. He sees every tear. Say that again, Gussie. He hears the cry of the heart. Amen. Let's stand together, will we? Praise God. He's calling you by your name. Just like Lazarus, he's calling you by your name. And I say to you today, don't be in despair. That tomb that you've been in for a long time, it's time for a resurrection. It's time to come out of that tomb and let God lead you and guide you into a resurrected life. Amen?
Amen.
And hopefully this time next year we'll see hundreds of Kenneths coming into this church and giving their life to Christ. If we're going to sing a song just before we final prayer, surrender to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Close our eyes just for a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the question, what tomb are you in today? Is it the tomb of depression, despair, isolation, the tomb of accusation, the tomb of brokenness? I'm going to give two calls today. And the first call is to those that are in that tomb that have never known Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They've never known that resurrected life. And if you're here today and you want to come out of that tomb, you want to receive salvation, like your heart would explode as you surrender your life to Him, to the risen Lord. If you're here today and you've never done that, under my voice, I'm asking you, just show me your hand. Show me your hand if you've never fully surrendered to Jesus and you're in that tomb today. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here that wants to surrender their life to Christ? You may never have done it before. This is your time. This is your call. He's calling you by name. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. Everybody here knows the Lord. That's a great place to be. That's a great place to be. And while I was speaking, many of you know people are in that tomb. It could be the tomb of addiction, the tomb of brokenness. It could be a son, a daughter, a friend. You know who they are. And if you want to represent them and come to this altar with me, I'm bringing my brother who's an alcoholic here to this altar. Come on. Let's bring them to the altar and we're going to pray and stand in faith like we did for Mike last week. We're going to stand in faith for these friends and sons and daughters to experience the resurrected Christ. Thank you, Jesus.